Good morning. How is everyone doing this morning? Good. Well, I'm excited to share with you guys this morning. You know, as you may have noticed, we had a pretty young team up here. Every fifth weekend, we like to do something called a Student Emphasis Weekend, where we allow our students to lead us in worship. And second service, our kids are going to be singing a song, and we want them to be a part of what's happening in here. And part of why we do this is so that you guys don't lose sight of the next generation of the church coming up. It's so easy, you know, when we have our kids always tucked away and we have junior high Sunday school classes to just kind of forget that they're here, but they're the future of our church, and we want you guys to be praying for them. And so part of why we do this is to put this in front of you guys to say, let's pray as a church for our students. They're the ones that are going to be the next pastors, the next leaders of the church, and they need our prayers, but also they need our mentorship. How many of you guys this morning, someone besides a parent, another adult, had a huge impact in your faith as you were growing up? I'm raising my hand because that was me. Many hands in this room. And that's the same case. These students need other adults to come alongside of them and to pour into them. And I want to encourage you guys to pray, because we do have a lot of growth coming in our children's ministry and our youth ministry. And we need adults to come alongside me and Dave and Stacy with the kids to mentor these students and to do life with them. And so just be praying about that. If you guys have questions about what that might look like, or if you are interested, you can come in and talk to me about that. But this morning, the title of the sermon is called The Test. Okay, The Test. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Genesis chapter 22. We're going to be going there here in a few minutes. But the test. How many of you guys just growing up, maybe in school, you just did not like tests? Anybody just did not like tests? I think we can be, if we're all honest, we would say that wasn't something we were super excited about. But tests are part of life. Even after we graduate, you know, high school and college, tests are something that we are always around. In Walmart the other day, I was walking through, I was shopping for our youth Christmas party, and I was in a rush, I didn't have a lot of time. And then all of a sudden, as I'm going through the aisles with my cart, I hear this fire alarm going off. The lights are flashing, the alarms are going off, and I'm sitting here thinking, what am I supposed to do? Like, what is everyone else doing? Everyone else is just continuing to shop. And I'm like, you know what, I'm just gonna keep shopping until they tell us to get out, because I was in a rush. And on the announcement thing, they were like, don't worry, this is just a test. You guys can continue to shop. And I was thankful for that I didn't have to leave. But it's a kind of a test. We go through all kinds of tests in life. If you work in manufacturing, many times you test a product or before you send it out onto the open market. And so tests are a part of everyday life. And at some point or another, we all go through them. And tests, though they get a bad rap sometimes, are actually a very good thing. Because tests, they give us, and they give the person giving the test, an idea of where you're at and where you need to go from this point. Right? If you're testing a material or a product and something malfunctions, that's a good thing, because then you know how can we fix this before we allow it to come into public use. And so tests are a very good thing. How many of you guys know that it's a good thing we give people driving tests before we allow them just to go drive on the roads? Any of you guys thankful for that? I'm thankful for that. You know, every time I hear one of my students tell me they're going to go get their license, I'm like, all right, let me know, and I'm going to make sure I got my seatbelt on, and just kidding, they're great drivers. But tests are a good thing, and we see all throughout Scripture, God gives tests and allows us to go through tests, because it allows our faith to really be shown where it's at, and it allows our faith and our character to have a chance to be proven, if that makes sense. And in this text that we're going to read this morning, God allows Abraham to go through a test. And so let's read this together. It's in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 through 19. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. So the next morning, Abraham got up early, he saddled his donkey, and he took two of his servants with him, along with his son, Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire, for a burnt offering, and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "We have the fire, we have the wood," the boy said. "But where is the sheep for the burnt offering?" "God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son," Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. And then he tied his son Isaac. He laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. And at that moment, an angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Yes," Abraham replied, "here I am." "Don't lay a hand on the boy," the angel said. "Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son." Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by his horns in a thicket. And so he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means "the Lord will provide." To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven. "This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond the numbers like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants, all nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me." Then they returned to the servants and traveled back to Beersheba, where Abraham continued to live. Father, we just come to you right now. And Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you're faithful. And the God, that we can trust you. And Lord, I pray that as we look into this text for a few minutes, that you would speak to every heart in this room. God, that your Holy Spirit would just come into this place and speak directly to each of us what we need to hear about the situations in our life so that we can become more like you. We can become closer to you, more committed to you. Father, just lead my words and guide my tongue, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we look at this text, and the first thing that some people ask is, well, why in the world, in the first place, would God ask Abraham to do this? It seems like a ridiculous thing to ask. What, sacrifice your son? But we have to understand that when God asked him to do this, he had no intent at all for his son to be hurt. What he was doing was God who tested Abraham's faith and obedience. This is what this test was about. It was about God testing Abraham's faith and obedience. In a sense, God was asking Abraham to prove it. He was saying to Abraham, "I want to know, I want to see where your faith is. I want to see if you really trust me, if you'll really do and go wherever I call you to go and whatever I call you to do." We've all probably heard that statement, right? Prove it. You know, if a lot of people can talk a good talk, they can say the right things, but when it comes down to it, we want people to show really what it's about. And that's what God was asking Abraham is, do you truly put your faith in me? And do I truly have your heart more than anything else in your life? You see, true faith is displayed when God asks us to do something difficult or sometimes when we walk through difficult circumstances of life. It's a test of our faith where we really have to, prove it. We show God who we really are and what our faith is when God asks us to do something difficult. That's something that stretches us, or sometimes life happens and it falls in front of us and we have to decide how we're going to respond to what life threw at us. There's times that our faith is tested, and that's exactly what was happening with Abraham. God tested his faith. God tested his obedience. God recognized how important Isaac was to Abraham, and he wanted to know that Abraham, am I still the most important thing in your life? Your next point this morning is that Abraham responded to God's test with obedience. He responded to God's test with obedience. And God's prayer, not my prayer for us as a church, is that whenever we walk through a test in life, whether it's God asking us to do something that's difficult or it's life falls apart in front of us and we have to respond, that God would find us to be people that are obedient and that people that responded with faith and that trusted God. As we look in this text, the next morning, Abraham didn't wait. He started to gather everything together. And it was a 3-day journey to the land of Moriah. Now, if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, it's not Moria. I know that's a place in the Lord of the Rings. It's Moriah. but 3 days. Imagine with me 3 days Abraham walking with his son with all of the things for the sacrifice, with a knife, with the stuff for the fire, and for 3 days having to process what it's about to happen, what could possibly happen. You know, I believe, and we can look in here, that Abraham trusted God, but he still must have had to wonder, God, are you really going to have me go through with this all the way to the end? Have you guys ever had something that just consumed your thoughts and your mind? You just couldn't, like, stop thinking about it? That's probably what was happening with Moses or Abraham, this whole process. He was walking 3 days, and it was consuming his mind. But you know what else I believe was consuming Abraham's mind during this three-day journey? Was how faithful God had been to him. The faithfulness of God and the unending love of God. And he had such a trust in him. And it's so important to understand this. There's a couple things that happened during this journey. First of all, he told the servants, listen, you guys wait here. Me and my son are going to go ahead, and then we're both going to come back. That's a statement of faith right there. Because Abraham was telling them, listen, we're both going to go, and we're both going to come back. It's not just going to be me, but we're both going to come back. And it showed that Abraham, through all of this craziness, that God was stirring this faith inside of him. And he had this trust in God, that God loved him, that God was going to be faithful to his promises. And it came out in his words to his servants. But also, when his son asked him, you know, Father, we have the stuff for the sacrifice, but where's the sheep? And Abraham says, God will provide a sacrifice. You see that Abraham had such a faith and such a trust that God was with him and that God wasn't going to fail him, that God wasn't going to deny his promises to him. In church, I believe that God wants us to have that same faith and confidence in God. The enemy wants to come and take that confidence and take that trust, and he wants to diminish it. Because if we don't have that faith and trust in God, then when we come into a time of a test, we're not going to go forward and we're not going to pass the test because we don't have this faith and trust. And this morning, I want to tell you that you can trust God, that he is faithful to you. And no matter what life throws at you, no matter what he may ask you to do, he will walk with you through it and he will be faithful. He will be faithful to you. And so your next point this morning is Abraham placed his most valuable earthly possession on the altar to God. Think about how God addressed Abraham in this situation. He didn't just say, take Isaac and go. Listen to how he words this. He says, take your son, yes, your only son, Isaac, whom you love so much. I think God knew how much Abraham loved his son. And I think any of us who are parents can understand that love for a child, especially with what Abraham and Sarah went through. They couldn't have a kid for so long. They were waiting for God's promise for so long. And then God comes through and provides this son. And I can't imagine that they would maybe cling to him a little bit more and hang on to him a little bit tighter, because it was the fulfillment of this long-awaited promise. And they loved this one so much. It was through who the promise was going to be through of blessing his descendants. But Abraham, because of his trust in God, he allowed him and placed him on the altar because he knew that God was faithful. And through all of this, church, the theme that I keep hearing from God is that God wanted there to be right order in Abraham's life. God didn't want Abraham not to be blessed. God didn't want Abraham to feel bad about anything. He wanted Abraham to have a right order in his life. He wanted Abraham to say, you know what, I love my son, but God, you're still first. That God, you're still the most important thing in my life, and whatever you ask me to do, wherever you ask me to go, I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to do what you ask me to do. And that's what God's cry is for us, church. As I was preparing this sermon, I just feel like God, in my own life, in our church, that God is crying out for us to have right order in our life. To have right order. It's so easy in life to allow things to come in, things that are maybe good things, but they begin to take prominence in our hearts, in our minds over God. And rather than God dictating everything that we do and everything everywhere that we go, it's like our life controls our schedule. And God just gets the leftovers. You know, New Year's Eve is coming up, and so many people, they just continue to add things into their life during this time, right? I'm going to get to the gym more this year, right? I feel like every year people have that one. I'm going to eat healthier. Maybe they have goals at their job. All these things that we want to add into our life. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily a bad thing. But I think that before we do that, I think God wants us to slow down, to stop for a minute, and to say, is there truly right order? Because sometimes before we add into our life, we need to subtract. Sometimes we need to take an honest inventory into our life and say, God, are you truly the most important thing in my life? Are you truly number one? It's so easy for us to say that, right? God's the most important thing to me, right? But if we look at how we spend our time, how we spend our talents and our gifts, how we spend our money, how we all the things in our life, if we would truly look at those things, I think it would magnify and zoom in on what is truly the most important thing in our life. Are we about building God's kingdom? Are we about serving God's purposes? Or are we about building our own kingdom and our own purposes? We have to honestly ask ourselves this next year. And that's what God was asking Abraham. Am I truly the most important thing to you? I want you to have right order in your life. Church, I don't believe that God's plan for the church is to diminish, for the light to begin to fade, for the salt to begin to get stale. I believe that God wants to move in power and God wants to continue to build his kingdom. But we have to be people of right order, because if we don't have right order, if he's not number one, then it's going to be very difficult for God to use us the way he wants to. Your next point this morning is that good things can become bad things when they keep us from the best thing. Good things can become bad things when they keep us from the best thing. Isaac was a good thing. He was a fulfillment of God's promises and blessing. But God knew that if not held in check, Isaac could have taken God's place in Abraham's heart. And the same is true in our life. You know, it could be a good thing. It could be a blessing that we have. It could be a job. It could be a relationship. But if we're not careful, those things can slowly begin to consume our thoughts and our mind until truly they've taken God's place in our hearts. And God doesn't want anything to take that place in our hearts. Our hearts only have one throne, church. Our hearts only have one throne. There's only one person and one thing that can sit there, and it's either ourselves and what we're doing, or it's God. Listen to what it says in 1 John 5:21. It says, "Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts." You see, idols still exist today. They're not made necessarily of wood and stone, but they're things in our life that over time, they just take our attention and our passion away from God and the things he's calling us to do. And so, church, God is calling us to right order. God is moving in our church. He wants to expand his kingdom in this area, and he's asking us to inventory our life and that truly ask, God, do you have prominence in my heart, or am I just giving you my leftovers? Am I just giving you that little bit of extra time I have? It's so important that we understand and that we really think about this. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Is there anything in your life that you're withholding from God? You see, the angel cried out as Abraham was about to do what God called him to do. He said, "Wait, don't do it. Don't harm the boy. Because now I know you truly fear me, and there's nothing that you will withhold from me. There's nothing that I can't have of yours." And I think God wants to ask us the same question. Is there anything in our lives that we are withholding from him? God, you can have all of this. You can have my Sunday mornings, God. You can have some of my money, God. But God, how I spend the rest of my week, that's for me. Whatever it may look like, is there anything in your life that you're withholding from God? You see, church, God is looking, and this is your last point this morning. God is looking for a church that is wholly consecrated to him. God is looking for a church that is wholly consecrated to him. To consecrate yourself to God, it means to separate yourself from anything that is unclean, from any idols, and to dedicate yourself wholly to God and his purposes. Church, I want you to think for a moment, what would happen if every one of us in this congregation, every one of us in this county that call ourselves followers of Christ, would stop this year before the year starts. And then we would say, God, everything that I have, everything that I am is for you and for your glory, for your purposes. That God, if you want me to serve somewhere in the church and I haven't because there's these things, I'm placing them on the altar, God. That God, if there's a character issue inside of my heart because there's a sin I'm not willing to give to you, God, here it is. I'm placing it on the altar of sacrifice. God, there's nothing I'm going to withhold from you. God, everything that I am is for you and for your glory and for your purposes. Church, if every one of us was to do that, then we would see God move like he never has before in us and through us this next year. Our life is not our own. We've been bought with a price. And so we can't live like our lives are our own. Jesus came, he went to the cross. He gave his life for us, not so that we can just come on a Sunday morning and put our time in and then go the rest of our weeks and live for ourselves or live how we want or say, no, I'm not going to give up that attitude or no, I'm not going to give up that sin or no, I'm not going to give up this hobby or whatever it is because this is my thing. Our lives are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Paul counted everything else in his life as rubbish compared to the value of knowing Christ, his Lord. And that's what God wants us to do. I want to read one more passage of Scripture before we close this morning. It's in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 and 23. You know, King Saul was anointed by God. And he started out pretty okay. But over time, Saul began to want to do his own thing and go his own way. Right before these scriptures we're going to read, we find out that Saul was building a monument to himself, that he was directly disobeying God's commands. And I believe it's because he just slowly, his passion and his love for God began to wane because he became the most important thing and what he wanted and his desires. Listen to what it says in 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. Samuel replied, he's talking to Saul, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the commands of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Saul thought that because he was offering these sacrifices, because he was, you know, he wasn't listening to God, but he was going to offer these awesome sacrifices to God, so they'd be fine, it would cancel out. And Samuel was saying, listen, God doesn't want all your sacrifices. God doesn't want part of you. He wants your heart. He wants your obedience. He wants you to be wholly consecrated to him for his purposes. And Saul didn't get it. He didn't get it. And church, I want us to get it. God doesn't want us to go through life and live however we want, but hey, we come to church on Sunday morning, so it cancels out, right? It makes it even, right? No. He doesn't want our sacrifices. He wants our obedience to his voice, to his word. He wants us to be wholly consecrated before him. And so this morning, this is how we're going to close. I'm going to pray for us, and it's going to kind of be an open close. If you guys need to leave, you can leave. If you need prayer, some of us pastors are going to be down here and leaders to pray. But what I have down here is I have a couple baskets, and I have four places with pieces of paper and pens. You know, and Abraham, he made this three-day journey to prove to God, listen, God, there's nothing in my life I'm going to withhold from you. And if there's something in your life that God's been speaking to you about during this message, maybe you've been withholding from him, or it's been an idol in your life that's maybe keeping you from doing what God wants you to do, maybe it's a sin issue, I'm going to invite you to take a journey down to the altar like Abraham did. And to write down whatever it is on these pieces of paper right here. And as a symbol to God, that's saying, God, I'm going to wholly consecrate myself to you. There's nothing in my life I'm going to withhold from you. I want you to write that down on these pieces of paper. I want you to throw them in these baskets. I want you to take a moment and pray and talk to God about whatever this is. And I want you to leave this place with God's blessing and God's favor, because in your heart, There's no longer anything that's keeping you from him. There's nothing you're withholding from him. And so, church, I'm going to pray, and I want to invite you to come and respond. And if you need prayer, there's something else going on in your life you need prayer for, we're going to be here to pray with you guys. But let's be a church that's wholly consecrated to God. Amen. Father, I thank you so much for your love for us, for your faithfulness to us. God, for your patience with us. And Father, as we close this morning, I pray, God, that you would not let us leave these doors, God, unless we are completely and wholly, God, consecrated to you. God, everything that we are is for you and your purposes. Father, I pray right now that as we close, that you would speak to every heart in this place and help us to leave this place not the same. Father, we love you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You guys are welcome to respond, to come and pray. If you need to leave, we love you guys. We encourage you to leave and just be ready to serve God. You never know when God's going to use you when you walk out these doors. Amen. Have a great week. We love you guys.